This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about remote work. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. One of the biggest worries about remote work is that employees will slack off when they're not in an office and do other stuff, like laundry, chores, run errands, or just watch movies and scroll around aimlessly on the internet as the hours tick by. Researchers have a name for that behavior, and it turns out the driver is not so much where people work, but how they feel about their jobs. Nicole Leonard has more.
A couple weeks ago, I was at work trying to look something up for a story when I suddenly found myself reading an article titled "Every Barbie in the Barbie Movie Ranked." It was the middle of the afternoon, and I had a mountain of tasks ahead of me. Deadlines to meet, audio to transcribe, emails to send. But here I was learning that stereotypical Barbie remained at number one, while Weird Barbie came in at third, and Mermaid Barbie landed at 10th. What I was doing is called cyberloafing. It's when we spend time online or on our phones during working hours doing non-work-related activities. We asked people about their cyberloafing habits, and something that came up was that it often happens subconsciously, like you didn't intend to switch from a work task to something else.
I will go onto Facebook just to check a message. I don't remember going into Reels. Somehow I find myself an hour and a half later scrolling through these Reels. And why? Why am I watching these videos?
Shawnee Pindeck studies cyberloafing, and she says that's common. She's an industry and organizational psychologist at the University of Haifa in Israel.
Sometimes I sort of realize I've been cyberloafing and I don't even remember when that instant was when I switched. And not only is it not always intentional, there's also the question of harm here. It's really not obvious that there's harm being caused at all.
The corporate world might argue otherwise. Cyberloafing costs businesses an estimated $85 billion a year through lost time, according to researchers at the University of Nevada. Excessive cyberloafing might lead to poor performance or create stress for someone who is now behind on their tasks. Some experts classify it as a counterproductive work behavior, but Shawnee says there's now more research showing that cyberloafing has some benefits. For example, it could be a small break that you need to boost creativity and resharpen your focus.
It's a way to interrupt your stream of thought. It's an internal interruption, but this type of interruption also helps you spice it up, change a specific line of thought, and become more creative.
This is something we heard when we asked people about cyberloafing.
Brain breaks keep you from running screaming out of the building and never coming back. And seriously, like 8 straight hours of pure uninterrupted productivity is a ridiculous expectation, and leaders know that. Bosses resent it.
Shawnee says it could also provide an outlet when you're feeling bored at work.
Boredom is a signal that something is suboptimal, something is not just right, and a change is welcome. You should change something. And then when you're at work, there's different things you can do about it, and the most immediate thing is cyberloaf.
Research shows that sometimes we may resort to cyberloafing as a coping mechanism, as an outlet for our stress and frustration, or maybe when we're on the receiving end of rudeness or aggression from colleagues. Jiqing Zhou is an industry and organizational psychologist and assistant professor at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. He says negative work-related experiences and exposure to stressful situations are common predictors and triggers of cyberloafing.
So if you want to really make people happy and productive and healthy in the workplace and want them to engage in the right behaviors, then we don't want them to be exposed to those negative triggers that can trigger them to engage in unnecessary or extreme cyberloafing.
Jiqing and Shawnee teamed up to study one of those negative triggers. They specifically looked at email incivility, For example, a message that might have a lot of words in capital letters or exclamation points. Something that might come off as condescending or passive-aggressive.
I might be frustrated, angry, or just upset. And then I might act on those emotions to detach myself, to distract myself.
After talking to these experts, I wondered about my own cyberloafing. Did I spend 5 minutes reading a silly story about Barbie because I was stressed or bored? Did I need a mental break with something fun before moving on to my next project? Whichever reason it was, Shawnee says it's not something to feel shame or guilt over. And more often than not, she says workers typically make up for the time they spend cyberloafing.
But we have gained something when we went to do things that were not work-related. We were able to recoup some resources. We were able to relax if we were too stressed or get re-engaged if we had gotten disengaged to begin with.
As far as what businesses and companies can do to limit cyberloafing, Shawnee says they shouldn't focus on the behavior itself, but rather what drives us to do it in the first place.
If you give your employees a good job with good tasks, they will cyberloaf to the extent that is needed, but they will cyberloaf less in general. They'll be more engaged. And so cyberloafing is not the problem that employers need to be trying actively to resolve. They should be making those jobs better.
For The Pulse, I'm Nicole Leonard.